Hi there, fellow internet consumer. Has your grandma ever died because an article online convinced her that her dementia medicine was made of nanobots? Did an AI video of a man hugging a shark convince your friend to get himself eaten? I know I have. And that's why we started this podcast. Welcome to What Is True. We know you're drowning in information every day, in fake AI videos and fake articles, and who knows what other kind of horrendous disinformation. I'm Alexa Battler.
And I'm Chris Garbutt. Together, we're going to talk about the ways facts get twisted, about the tools we can use to spot those twists, and why this matters for everyone from a teenager scrolling TikTok to a retiree checking the news over morning coffee.
Each episode this season, we'll sit down with Nina Vereshchagin and Diane Zur, the best people we could find to help us answer this question. They're two media literacy experts from Saskatchewan Polytechnic. They've spent pretty much their whole careers helping people cut through the bullcrap. And they co-authored the open source textbook, Disinformation, Dealing with the Disaster, a fantastic resource, which is how we found them, and one that we'll reference throughout the season and that you can access for free along with their course on media literacy online.
This problem keeps evolving. Our goal is to map that evolution and give you practical ways to stay ahead.
Each week, Nina and Diane will help us break down real-world situations, highlight real tools from their book you can use in your everyday life, and point you towards free resources you can start using right now to stop being lied to.
No lectures, just straight talk about what you can actually do when a story makes you pause, when an emotion spikes, or when you're tempted to share.
It's the information age, baby, and it's an age when it's harder than ever to figure out what is true. So here's our best crack at an answer. So we don't call it fake news anymore. Fake news has been diluted to the point that it doesn't mean anything. We call it misinformation and disinformation. And there's a cool third word that all of this house hippo nonsense leads into, of malinformation, which we'll get to, because that seems like one that's not as understood and is increasingly threatening in a lot of ways to all of us. So I'll give a very basic definition, and then I was hoping, Nina, we can maybe do some examples, Diane, as well. Basically, misinformation, disinformation, both are just fake. It's fake information. It's wrong. They both have the same outcome. It's just that's incorrect information. But misinformation was shared by people who thought it was true. And disinformation was shared by people who knew it was not true and shared it anyway. Very similar to the difference between manslaughter and murder. It's a matter of intent, really. And we've talked about that as well. Does it matter to even distinguish between these when the result is the same? And, you know, I can't answer that, but I do imagine that a murderer would answer differently than the victim. So, you know, I bring up definitions and the idea of like legitimate institutions, including news outlets as well, like releasing official documentation as like not enough to determine whether information is high quality or whether you want to consider it or factor it into your opinion.
First of all, I love the intensity of manslaughter versus murder. I'm like, oh, we are serious about misinformation and disinformation. Yeah, so what you've brought up, we actually in our book call like the whole, and not just us, like it's a part of the discipline in information studies, we call the whole like situation we're in information disorder. And that's where misinformation and disinformation fall into. And yeah, you defined them accurately. So I will share some examples. The first one is a personal example. And it's about forest fires in Canada, which have anybody who lives in Canada knows that these have been a serious issue for many, many years now. I think we're getting up to like a decade or more. Also for international audiences, I know that Australia has had issues, the USA, these are prevalent everywhere. And so I fell for some what I believe to be misinformation in 2023. I had planned a trip to Banff with some friends, which is in Alberta. And Alberta is a place where wildfires are like quite rampant every year in Canada. And I was scrolling through my TikTok and somehow it had figured out that I was going to Banff. And I was scrolling and a video of Banff literally like ablaze and like an animal like running away from the fire and like, you know, people shrieking and stuff like that in the background showed up. And I've been to Banff, so it was like what the video was Banff. Like I know what it looks like. I've been there before. And I immediately texted my friends who I was supposed to go on this trip with, and I was like, trip off, we can't go, like Banff is on fire. And to my credit, there was also like Saskatchewan was socked in by smoke, Canada was socked in by smoke everywhere. So, you know, anyway, my friends eventually convinced me, like, Nina, that is not Banff. Like, it's fine. We can go there. And I realized that it was either an old video that had been reshared or something else. I can't really speak to what else it might have been. But I'm going to assume it was like an old video from a long time ago that was reposted. And I'm going to call it misinformation and assume that the algorithm combined with someone accidentally resharing it had landed it in my lap and caused me to like have a panic, maybe not go on my trip. That I think everybody would agree with me that that example isn't like particularly dangerous. Like me needing to change my trip plans or not wanting to travel somewhere is not like personally dangerous to me. So this misinformation example didn't like cause me harm in any way. Which leads me to disinformation. Another thing that happened in 2023 is we had a lot of people in Canada who were spearheading conspiracy theories about fires. So same topic, forest fires, on their social media accounts. And they were claiming that the government was starting the fires as a way to convince people that climate change was real. So the idea behind this was these social media influencers, I don't know if they were considered influencers or not, these people online were posting videos of fires saying, government of Canada started this fire. They want you to believe it's climate change, but climate change could never have possibly done this because like it doesn't exist. Obviously. And even if it did exist, it doesn't cause fire. And so this is like a very, very much so an example of disinformation. Like it's taking something that they know not to be true and putting it out there into the world and trying to get people to not support climate change action and get people to not engage in that conversation or participate in anything to stop it. And then we later find out that one of the social media people on social media who was posting these was actually starting fires in the forests of Quebec. And he actually pled guilty in early 2024 to 14 counts of arson, one of which was arson that put human lives in danger. And like hundreds and hundreds of people had to evacuate their homes because of fires that this person had caused. And I bring that up because he was one of the original posters of the government is starting these fires because climate change, because they want you to think climate change exists.
Not enough evidence of climate change.
Yes. And then he was the one who was starting some of the fires. He did not, like, by any means start all the fires that had happened in Canada or even in Quebec that year. Like, 2023 was one of the worst years for fires, but he did some of them. And he pled guilty and has been found to have been responsible for this. So that, I hope that helps you identify the difference between misinformation and disinformation.
Yeah, I think so for sure. Chris, do you get it yet? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Well, that's a very, very dedicated disinformation. Only was he saying that the fires were being deliberately set. He deliberately set them and then said it was the government who did it. Mm-hmm. That is.
That's a job AI really, I can't.
It's an extreme example.
Fires like that.
For sure. Yeah.
Actually, well, I mean, maybe.
But yeah, that's, to me, this is the question, because misinformation can be the sharing of deliberate disinformation. So this mm-hmm. is where Alexa's question is, does it matter? I guess the motivations perhaps do matter, but I do find also that you can confront someone with the facts and still they won't change their mind. They'd rather look like they're right than actually be right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I feel like that's a problem in my own personal interactions sometimes.
I'm not convinced that the distinction matters. False information is false information. For the general public, you need to verify that what you're saying is accurate. But for like scholarship and academia and the people who study it, that's where we start to want to differentiate between the different thing. And then malinformation is sort of the third prong of what is specifically information disorder. And Diane is much better at describing it than I am.
Ooh, I want to hear it.
So I will let her.
Yeah. So I think, like you had said, Alexa, it has changed a little bit. At the beginning, when we first started, malinformation was, it's kind of like information that maybe is changed or released in some way to cause damage. And now more and more, as we're seeing this more often, and how it usually ends up being used these days is specifically with leaked information. So this is just like information that's mostly true, but then leaked at specific times where it can help the purposes of whoever's releasing that information. So you can like leak emails to just cause an information storm and then muddy the topics of the day, or you can leak like very private information so that it negatively affects someone. And that's the way we're seeing it more and more.
Would like doxing be part of that? I mean, that may be true information, but it may be malicious information.
Leaking information, it would depend on the intent. Like if the intent was just to leak information to cause havoc, I don't know that I would call that malinformation. What do you think, Diane?
I don't know. Those examples, I think it'd be pretty targeted, right? If you're releasing.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
It's not like a data breach, right? It's not a data breach where they just take everyone's information and sell it to a third party. This example would be like you're targeting someone and you're releasing their home information and you're releasing personal details in order to, basically have a negative effect on their lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can pull malinformation back into our fire example, if that would help.
Please do.
Yeah, do it.
So if we assume that malinformation is real information that is slightly altered or misinterpreted to cause harm. Once our arsonist from Quebec admits that he started all of these fires, what then happens is the climate change deniers grab that and they start creating memes that have a picture of his face and then say the face of climate change. And then they start saying, see, we told you it's not climate change. This guy is an arsonist and he started the fires. So arsonists start all the fires. So they took this like true thing that happened and then they used it to continue this campaign of climate change denial.
Imagine missing the mark that hard and still accidentally being right.
Yeah, and then when you actually do look at the facts of it, the actual amount of forest fires that are intentionally caused by arsonists is 967 hectares. This is in Canada. Whereas natural fires caused by lightning is over 4 million hectares. And then human ones that are caused by humans, but not arson, is about 38,000. So that would just be like
gender reveal parties
going. Right. You blew something.
You have
off
to set a forest on fire if you're going to reveal your baby's gender, obviously.
Yeah. So if you look at the actual facts that are published by forest fire protection agencies, that's what you have to get to eventually. Like if you are a person who's looking at this and going, well, wait, is it arson? Wait, is it the government? Wait, is it this guy? Wait, is it this other thing? Really what the person needs to do is go back to the actual facts and figures and data and see that less than 1,000 fires are caused intentionally by arsonists and more than 4 million are caused by lightning strike.
What about things like, because I will see on social media someone sharing an article from The Onion, which is a satirical website, and the world is so crazy now that it seems true and people will share it as true and be enraged. Like, can you believe this is happening? Where does that fit in with all of this?
Yes. Yeah, I think you described the situation perfectly where we have sites that have our parody or satire and like none of that is on purpose, right? So that is all, if anyone takes that it's probably misinformation. But there are people out there that maybe don't get the joke or don't realize that this is a parody website, and then that does turn into misinformation. So it's, yeah, that's always interesting too. It's like, where's this line? And parody and satire have been around forever, right? Just like misinformation, disinformation, all this stuff has been around forever. But on the internet, it's just really hard to tell the difference between things. It does make it more challenging. Usually parody and satire websites, though, are, they link back to themselves. They're very clearly, like, they will say usually right at the top, this is parody. We are making fun of everything. Yeah.
That's like, so legally requested for them.
It's easy to find the source.
To not get in trouble.
It's easy to find that.
But people usually will share and believe these when they already, like, when they get upset and they have a gut reaction. I knew it. I knew that was what was going on. And there's a whole subreddit called Ate the Onion of people who believe it's real. And you can see they're so upset and they're so glad to have something that backs this opinion that they have, that they're not even going to read the website.
So this is why we're trying to educate post-secondary students. Like, I don't know what impact our book and our course is going to have on, like, those people you just described, Alexa. But I can show my students, hey, this is The Onion and this is what it is. It's a parody website. Make sure that you don't believe this to be fact. Make sure you're reading disclaimer. We always say to students, read like the editorial pages on websites. Usually a news media outlet will have like correction policies and fact-checking policies and stuff like that. And then usually ones that are fringe or parody, you can tell pretty quickly if they have a specific agenda or a specific thing that they're trying to achieve. And so again, kind of like when we were talking about Snopes, just the practice of, wait a minute, this seems a little fishy. I'm going to actually like see what this website's about, I think would lead to better situations than just like click and share and this confirms what I believe. So, haha, I'm right.
An interesting thing tying AI back into this, and something we can watch as we move forward here, is that AI can't tell the difference between parody, satire, and real information. So sometimes AI cites it and uses it as valid information. So we'll see how this, maybe it'll be trained not to do that. I don't know yet. We'll see how that all develops.
Hence the scrolling down beyond the AI to get reliable information. No, I just find that if you go to The Onion, it's pretty, like, they'll have a story about local baby is so whiny, there's a petition to get her out of the neighborhood or something, you know. So it's, other stories will be so stupid that you'll realize that the site, but you have to take time to track it down.
Just speaking of Reddit, there's also a subreddit called Not The Onion, which is news articles that are real, but sound so incredibly ridiculous, you would genuinely believe you would see it on The Onion. And there's been cases sometimes where they like actually kind of Simpsons-esque foretell the future. Like, parody and satire have always been, and I think especially now with like how, if whatever's going to happen with South Park, there's a lot of truths now that you have to say in parody, under parody law, and that resonates with people in different spheres in different ways.
I've always said comedians are smart. Like, it doesn't surprise me. They're some of the smartest people out there, in my opinion.
That was I loved the golden age of The Simpsons. What they used to say was, it was the smartest people you know writing the dumbest jokes they can think of.
So I ended talking about actually looking at the facts on arson when it comes to the wildfires in Canada in 2023. And we were talking about malinformation, about how people used the guilty person to continue their agenda. So there's another definition of false information. It's called defamation. And this occurs when someone shares a part of a story out of context and makes that portion appear as a fact. So if we continue with our same example, it would lead to the assumption that a lot of the conspiracy theorists related to fires are claiming that it is not climate change or lightning strikes or natural things that are causing the fires, but it is in fact people who are causing the fires. that's them just grabbing on that little piece of this one person doing the arson. And it's also them grabbing on little pieces like ATVs in a dry forest causing a fire, or someone leaving a campfire out causing a fire. Basically, like, honing in on humans' stupid behavior as the cause of all the forest fires and not looking at the bigger picture of that's actually a very small percentage of how many.
So in their world, like, the fires are getting worse because we're getting stupider.
Yeah, because we are dumb and we do dumb things, not because climate change exists.
It all comes back to Smokey Bear. Where is he?
Yeah.
No one's taking responsibility for forest fires anymore. This is the issue.
No. Yeah.
There's a conspiracy theory we can...
Beautiful. All right. We'll get around to conspiracy theories eventually. So with information overload as well, did you have kind of a similar definition?
So information overload is exactly what it sounds like. There's so much information coming at us that our brains cannot process it. We can only take in small amounts of information. And historically, we only had to take in small amounts of information. But now we have information is coming at us all the time, especially through our phones in our hands, and we can't possibly process it all. And that helped to create misinformation and disinformation, because when you're just, your brain's overloaded and there's so much information coming at you, you can realistically only digest parts of it. You can only take in small amounts. And so that's why we talk about this, is so that people can start learning what amounts to take in, but just also realizing that if you're feeling overwhelmed, it's because you are overwhelmed with information. And then once realizing that what's happening, you can make those decisions about where you want to go for information. What are you going to look at? What are you going to take in and spend your time on?
Yeah. And the only thing I'll add is that what information overload leads to, and it's something we all experience, even I think throughout this episode, all the things we've talked about could be considered a bit of information overload, is that people end up skimming headlines, believing things that they see over and over again, and not taking any time to fact check. Or when's the last time anybody listening to this podcast read a whole article from start to finish? I think we're all very guilty of not having the I don't know, attention span perhaps, or we're too overloaded to engage in these things all the time.
I specifically read a whole article this morning just because of the conversations we've had. So,
because I told you to. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
And actually, that's something I tell my students too. I say, if you're not going to read the whole thing, do not share it. Like, that would be one situation where I would suggest don't share. We got a little bit into that earlier, this idea where, Diane, you were saying you don't engage or share things, which is something I've gone back and forth in my life as to like how I talk to students about this. And that is one thing that I will go to bat for, is if you do not have the energy to open the thing, read the thing, or watch the whole thing, don't share the thing, and don't make a comment about the thing. pretty makes sense to me.
It's so tempting to see a headline you like and just click share, right?
Yeah, we're all guilty of it, I think, at some point in our lives.
Diane we're calling this section Fact or Fake.
Yeah, so Fact or Fake. I am going to read some headlines. They're real headlines. I found them online. And I'm going to direct one of them, each of you. So I'll say your name first, then read the headline, and then you need to try to decide whether or not it's real, it's a true story, or if it's a fake story. And we're going to start with Chris.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Yeah, in a quotation, like one quotation mark, it says, alien spacecraft found at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean.
That sounds very fake to me, but now I'm concerned because it sounds so fake that I'm worried that it's real. But I will say fake. I'm going to guess fake.
Okay. Yeah, your gut is right. The person that found it, he has a long history of finding alien things, but it's very unclear if any of them are ever actually from not this planet. he's made his career doing this stuff, but I think he's a scientist, so people believe him. But yeah,
I knew it was fake because they didn't use the term UAP, which is what all the real crackpots use now. So I'm going to listen to it and you say UFO or alien spacecraft. Like, you're not deep into the conspiracy world enough for me to hear you.
No, it has to be false. Yeah. Yeah. And it's unclear if there's anything found. It just looks like it was just all just clouded in secrecy, this whole thing. Just aiming for publicity. The other interesting thing is another technique people can try is I put in these headlines into a search engine and then I search them, and then other news sources had reported the same thing, but their headlines were different. And if anyone wants to play that game sometime, ooh, just how different news sources relate information, because that is also interesting and gives you an idea of the context of the issue. All right, Nina.
Okay.
Runner somersaults across the finish line and still wins the race. Did you say what?
Fact.
Fiction?
Fact.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh. Yeah, someone could do that.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. They just have to be fastest.
Yeah. Yeah. It was someone at the high school track meet. Yeah. And she was very fast. And she tripped and turned it into a somersault and then still won the race.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's like total recovery. Yeah, it was. Yeah,
that would have been great if it was like totally intentional, because she was just like winning so hard and she felt the need to somersault.
That's what I thought when you read it to me. See, we get all like, we need to read the article.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. All right, Alexa. Toxic ingredient linked to cancer, comma, autism discovered in brown rice.
You said autism, so that's obviously fiction. That's a good one, though. Like brown rice they're saying now, that's for autism?
Brown rice, yeah.
Okay, it answers the fact of how come vaccines caused autism, but autism is older than vaccines, because brown rice has been around for a long time. So, you know, that would explain that gap if I'm trying to confirmation bias myself.
And I'm pretty sure they stuck in the word autism just so that this article would be clicked on, because the ingredient, I believe, is arsenic. And it can be found in brown rice. It does exist, and it can cause cancer. But we're very fortunate in Canada because we have limits to the amount of arsenic that can be in our rice. So if it was at a level that would cause harm, it can't even be sold in our country. There are other countries that do not have the same standards that we have. So rice with high levels of arsenic could be sold there. Yeah. But this is one of those ones that I'm like, I don't know. I'd feel like for this one, I'd have to like so deep dive on this. It would take me forever.
I heard you say I heard you say that that's actually fact. It just depends.
Yeah.
On the circumstance.
Yeah.
That's why.
Exactly.
Alexa said fiction, and then we never clarified whether it's fact or fiction.
Yeah. Well, and I would not clarify whether it's fact or fiction, honestly, on this one. I just want more information, because when it comes to health stuff like this, I want to see a really robust study. Yeah. In order to actually determine whether or not it's true.
It's a huge issue going back as long as there's been science reporting, in that, you know, journalists want to find cures and they want to find breakthroughs and you know, the next insulin or whatever. And most science gives you an indication of something that might be possible, and it pushes you in a certain direction. And so, you know, obviously arsenic in rice is not a good thing, but it feels like autism was thrown in there, like you guys said, just to get clicks. And so you have to be really careful with science reporting. Even credible organizations have trouble reporting on studies.
The vaccine study was initially published in the one that got all the autism, where all this started, was initially published in a reputable. That's the issue, was that that happened in the first place. And then even when they went back and were like, okay, our bad, shouldn't have done it. Didn't matter. It was already in people's heads. They wanted to believe something.
Yeah.
They wanted to think their kid was, like, instead of just being like actually accepting their kid for who they are and learning more about it, it's, I got to find out who to blame for this because I can't handle the idea that my kid is not my understanding or definition of normal.
Goes to show how much damage can be done by false information being published. And then even if it's retracted, like that study that you're mentioning was absolutely debunked. And but somebody went
if
on.
If you go to the website, it says retracted right across it. Very big, very bold from the actual organization. It's like, this is not true. And yet people still believe it. So,
I mean, because they'll probably come to the point of believing like, well, I bet they're silencing him. Like and then you do have like a bunch of like Boeing 737 whistleblower guys actually getting killed, like, or dying, very suspicious, shooting themselves in the back of the heads in their trucks right before, it feels like just we now in this information overload environment too, like we know of so many insane stories now that we would have thought were not feasible or credible at all. And then you, like, even the house hippo, right? Like, is that crazy to think? Like, they act like it's this, you knew it wasn't real. You never seen a little hippo before. Like, what? They're breeding dire wolves. Like, I don't know. Maybe they do have a house hippo now. Like, I don't even understand where we are in terms of science. There's so much information. Maybe it's like a little robot thing, or that's totally feasible. It's no longer like just this obvious, well, come on. You knew that. None of this is obvious anymore. Even the brown rice thing. Obviously, brown rice didn't cause autism, but there's a kernel of truth in the fact that in certain locations and in certain quantities, it could actually give you cancer.
I was just going to say these headlines are an example of deformation or deformation because I counted them and each of them has 10 words. And for all of these topics, didn't stop at 10 words when we were discussing them. They're not 10 word topics and most things aren't.
Is there any 10 word topic?
It's a good starting point. No, it doesn't exist. So it's a good starting point, but we need to continue the conversation. And like Alexa, like you were doing, you were asking questions about it. And that's such a good thing. Is this real? I don't know what to believe. That's a great place to be because at least you're questioning it. And now it's okay. Try to go out, try to find the information and you'll probably come up with a better understanding of the topic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, which actually leads us to our challenge to our listeners, which is this week, we've kind of already challenged you to do it. You read something and you have an emotional reaction, and we know it will happen in a week. Read the article, read the whole article, try it once. And see if the headline actually reflects the article, or was it just written to get your attention and be designed to clickbait to be shared?
Definitely read the whole article. Is a I would say it's a cornerstone of like information literacy, media literacy, all the important literacies that we try to underpin our work with. And maybe after you read it, your emotions aren't going to be as charged and you won't need to share or have a big thing about it. Or maybe you will. And then at least you read it and you know what you're talking about.
Right. And you have the information you need to. Mm-hmm. How many times have we had someone share something and then someone says, did you read the article? So read the article this week.
The whole thing. Right to the bottom.
Right to the bottom.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm glad for any listeners who came right to the end of this episode. Is there anything else, Alexa, we need to cover?
I think that's it for that one, yeah.
So there were a lot of things that came up in our discussion. Thanks for listening to What Is True. Remember, when something makes you gasp, pause, check the source, and think before you share. And keep your hippos in the imagination. not the kitchen cabinet.
Just next week for another deep dive with Nina and Diane. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and ring that bell so you never miss another Truth Bomb.
And we're going to follow quite a bit of that. But I think next week we'll look into the history of misinformation, disinformation, and where it comes from, which I think helps a lot in terms of understanding that it's not something brand new. It's just here in a different form. Thank you, Diane and Nina.
Great. Thank you.
Alexa, thanks. We will see you all next week.
And, like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. Give us a good rating. It helps us get more listeners. And ring that bell. Thanks for listening to What is True. Remember, if something makes you gasp, pause, check the source, and think before you share. And keep your hippos in the imagination, not the kitchen cabinet.
Just next week for another deep dive with Nina and Diane. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and ring that bell so you never miss another Truth Bomb.